Thank you so much for downloading our podcast. The name of the show is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're presented by Compass Catholic Ministries, where we teach, using biblical principles, the best ways to handle money. The name of the study that we teach is called Faith and Money Matters. You follow these principles, and not only will you eliminate your debt altogether, but you'll be able to live a debt-free life. You can learn a lot more and take a look at the study simply by going to compasscatholic.org. At the website, click on Books and Studies and look for Faith and Money Matters. My name is Steve Holbrook, and I am joined today by the co-founders of Compass Catholic Ministries, John and Evelyn Bean. Well, here we are 4 weeks into a brand new year, which means roughly 50% of us listening today have broken at least one, if not two or more, of your New Year's resolutions. Would you agree, John?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we're 4 weeks away from January the 1st, and guess what?
You know, January 1st is really an arbitrary date, because if you discover something in your life that needs to change, it's important to make that change when you discover it and when you find out that you're going down the wrong path. So even if you have missed your January 1st date to make your resolution, let's talk about how you can backtrack and do a good job on meeting the change you want to make in your life.
Making a new resolution on the fifth Monday of the fifth quarter is not a good idea.
If that's when you discover you need to change, that's when you need to make the change. Right, Steve?
See, I get knocked because I make a resolution back right before Thanksgiving. Gain weight. And I can stick to that resolution. It's that one that starts in January about losing what said man gained.
Well, that's actually one of the most common resolutions, which is to stay fit, lose weight, get healthy. And another very common resolution is to get my finances under control.
Gee, I think we know something about that.
I think we do. What do you have to say about that?
Well, you know, even though people don't make formal resolutions at New Year's, it's a good time to take a step back and evaluate your life, and really, whether you do it on the 1st of January or the 1st of February, you know, the 1st of June, maybe you should do it once a quarter. I don't know. It's a good thing, because especially if you're evaluating the way you're living your faith, you know, what are you doing for the kingdom? That's a good thing to think about.
A lot. All the time.
Yeah.
Anytime you get off track, right?
Yeah. Our suggestion for your resolutions, whether it's January 1, February 1, June 1st, whatever, follow God's call. That is a great resolution, and it needs to be done.
Well, and we can all see areas where we're not living our faith or where we need to make adjustments, because everything about our Catholic faith should really permeate every aspect of our life. And, you know, our hot spot is how people manage to give, save, and spend their money. But a lot of people think that doesn't apply to their faith life. You know, money and possessions are in one hand and faith is in another hand, and never the twain shall meet.
Not so much there. In Ephesians 4, 22 and 24, we hear that you should put away the old self of your former way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth. Many times our old selves is the way that we're slaves to all the consumerism that the world throws at us. If we can learn how to manage money God's way, then we can be renewed in spirit and become good and faithful stewards of all the blessings that God gives us.
So one of the best ways to get your finances in order is to understand, first of all, that God plays a role in your finances. And one day you're going to be accountable to Him for how you handled what He gave you. How did you use your money? Did you use it to fulfill selfish desires, or did you use it to help your neighbors?
I'm not sure I understand. What do you mean God plays a role in our finances? I mean, I'm the one that's earning the money.
And who gave you the talent to earn the money?
Okay.
Who gave you the skills? Who gave you the ability to, let's say, go to college? Who gave you the ability to learn a trade? You know, if you trace everything back, it all comes from God. But we don't often realize that, because we think that we're like two-year-olds.
Well,
we learn that word, me, 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 me.
And that's the first thing I thought about when I heard you say that.
Me.
Yeah. I'm the one that's putting in the hours.
I'm the one that's working. It's my paycheck.
And where
it's
did
my
you
money.
Get those hours?
Right.
So if you can understand the role that God plays in your finances and that you're going to be accountable, that ought to make it easier for you to keep your resolution.
So many times we make resolutions that are forced upon us. We feel like it's the beginning of the new year, we have to make a resolution. We feel like maybe we're 5, 10, 20 pounds overweight, so we should lose weight. Maybe we feel like we're not managing our money well, so we should learn how to manage our money better. But we really need to take those shoulds to God and wrap them in prayer, because it's much easier to maintain the strength to keep the resolution if you're praying for wisdom and strength and guidance.
And if your resolution includes doing a better job of managing your finances, of keeping track of what you spend, if you do that, it will be easier to stay focused on God. Because if you're not so focused on your money and the issues that all that debt brings up, it's easier to stay focused on God.
So let's talk about 7 ways to help you keep your resolution. What's the first one, John?
Don't set a lot of them.
But don't you think people get carried away at the beginning of the year? You know, I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to do this. And it's overwhelming because you can't change everything.
You mean we shouldn't have 57 varieties of...
No, even 3 might be too much sometimes.
Yeah, I agree. I think 3 would be too much. So how do you prioritize? Because, you know, the majority of them are either going to be lose weight or manage my money.
Well, I think you have to concentrate on one really important thing that you want to accomplish. Because if you list too many, you're going to lose focus and become frustrating. So what's the one thing in your life that bothers you the most? Is it the fact that you don't have an emergency savings? Is it the fact that you have credit card debt? Is it the fact that you're behind on medical bills? It's that one thing that really drives you crazy and keeps you up at night.
And then your focus should be on what's it going to take to fix it? You know, what do you have to do to take that one thing that's driving you bananas and fix it?
And how do I know? I mean, because I do ask that question a lot. There are 2 individuals that I'm thinking about that are going to be retiring in the next 2 to 3 years, but they're worried they don't know if they can. So I'm like, well, what are you doing to fix that or to check to make sure that you're on target or you're not on target? And the answer is, I don't know. So how do you guide someone that I don't know is their response?
Well, if someone's in a retirement stage and they're thinking about retirement, the first thing I would do is make sure they have a financial planner they're talking to. I mean, they really need somebody that's got a good, solid basis for taxes and finances and investments and all that stuff to guide them into retirement.
But even before that, I think you've got to ask them the question, do you know where you're spending your money?
Yeah, how much money do you need in retirement?
Yeah,
what do you,
exactly.
Over the course of a year, how much money do you need to exist?
You know, can you live on the amount of money that you're spending today? And if the answer is yes, then that tells you what you need. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the place where you have to start.
But I think sometimes people don't understand how to calculate where the money's coming from in retirement. You know, because you have to assume a certain amount's coming out of your long-term savings, a certain amount may be from pensions, a certain amount may be from Social Security. And if you're a couple of years away from that, how are you going to survive in that interim time? So I still think it's a good idea for them to talk to a financial planner.
Well, I think you need that. But it really begins with, even if you go to a financial planner, what's the first thing they're going to ask?
How much do you need to live on?
Yeah,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if you don't have the answer to that, then don't waste your money.
And time.
What's the second thing, Evelyn, that we need to do? Or the second reason that we want to make a change?
Well, I think the second thing is that you need to have a good, solid reason why you want to make the change. You know, in the case we were just talking about, if people are not managing their money, but they want to retire in 2 or 3 years, that's the reason why they want to make a change and manage their money well. And making a change because your spouse is complaining or because you think you should or because your brother or sister did is not good enough. It needs to be driven from inside you.
Tell that to your spouse.
I want to see 2021.
But if you're doing something because somebody else thinks you should, it's not going to keep you motivated for very long.
No, I absolutely agree with you. The change has got to come from a deep desire that you have in your heart to make a change. And hopefully that desire is driven by a deep desire to please God.
It all gets back to God, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. So the third thing that you should be thinking about is to make sure that your resolution is achievable.
Now, if we go back to Steve's thing, if somebody wants to retire in 2 or 3 years and that's their resolution to make sure they can do that, and they don't know how much money they have today, and they don't know where any savings is coming from, then it's probably not going to be achievable because they don't have enough facts and figures to make that decision.
Well, but the fact that they're looking at 3 years down the road gives them the opportunity to kind of figure that out and then make the decision or understand the if the decision is reasonable and rational
and achievable.
Yeah, exactly. So if your resolution is to save $500 a month and you're barely making ends meet each month, then probably $500 a month isn't a realistic goal. You're going to improve your chances of success if you take small steps and be faithful to those small steps. So instead of saying, you know, I'm just barely making ends meet, but I want to save $500, why don't you save $50?
Or $25.
Yeah, exactly.
Anything.
Exactly. Save some amount and make sure that you can do that. And then once you've accomplished that for maybe 6 months in a row, then you can inch it up to the next magnitude whatever it is that you want to do. What do you want to accomplish?
That's like me saying, I want to win $1 million in the lottery and I don't buy lottery tickets.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably never going to happen, huh?
No.
But I'm not wasting my money on lottery tickets.
You just got to be buddies with somebody that's playing.
Exactly.
Nobody I know plays, which is a good thing.
To me, that tip is crucial. Make your resolution or your goal attainable. If not, you will become very frustrated and eventually give up on your goal. You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way. We are from Compass Catholic Ministries, working to help you attain your financial goal. And if it's getting out of debt, we can definitely show you how, no matter the size, big or small, of your debt. Check out our CompassCatholic.org website and the study called Faith and Money Matters. Well, today, John and Evelyn are taking you through 7 steps to keep that New Year's resolution. So, Evelyn, give us step number 4.
You know, the 4th step is to make your resolution part of a long-term goal. So if you decided to pay off debt, it may tie to a long-term goal of putting yourself into a position to buy a house. Or maybe you want to bump up your retirement savings so that you can retire early. Or maybe you need to save for college for the kids.
Whatever your goal is, you know, your immediate resolution should be that first step towards a bigger goal. So you want to define and understand the long-term goal and keep that big picture in mind as you're making little steps.
You know, this worked for us because we wanted to retire early. I mean, our heart was always to retire early so that we could work full-time in the ministry. And we had a lot of little steps as far as not overspending on this or saving money from that or just keeping our eye on that long-term goal. And we were able to achieve it because we had a long-term strategy to get there.
Once we developed a strategy that didn't include debt.
Yes. Once we got our debt straightened out and really put our finances in order, we were able to focus on that long-term goal, define it, and then work toward it.
Yeah, because I had a goal of being able to retire at 58 from all the way from when I was about 25, because that's when I knew I could retire based on the company plan. So, but then we focused on money and not on other things and got into trouble.
So your long-term goal of retiring at 58 happened, but once you involved God, it didn't happen the way you thought it would happen. Because your goal was to travel and have fun and play golf, not really to work in ministry full-time.
I never even thought about that.
And then God popped in and said, no, John, we're going in this direction, right?
God laughs.
God laughs when we make plans.
Yes. So the 5th step is to be very specific about your goal. You need to define exactly what the goal looks like. I go back to the time we did the collage. We cut out all kinds of pictures about things that we wanted to do, we wanted to have. It was a very uncontentful focus.
Discontent, yes.
Yeah, yeah, because there's all these things that we wanted to do. And we cut out pictures and we put them on a big poster board and we hung it on the refrigerator for several months. And then it ended up under the bed for several years. And when we found it again, though, it was probably 6 or 7 years. But the thing of it is, just cutting those pictures out and putting them on paper, we accomplished almost every single one of those goals. When we're saying, define exactly what your goal looks like, write it down, be specific, get a picture of it, whatever it takes. Don't be really vague. Oh, I'm going to manage my money better. Well,
what does that
mean? What's that mean? Yeah. That's really vague. And if you don't have a roadmap, how are you going to define success?
So the change that you want to make needs to be really concrete, something that's well-defined and measurable. So a well-defined goal might be to say, I want to save $1,000 for an emergency fund by December 30th of 2020. That's a concrete goal because you know the amount and the time frame, so you can measure your progress. And if you start this week, you'll have about 11 months or about 44 weeks to meet your goal. So if you break that down into smaller steps, that means each week you need to save about $23.
So then you need to define how you're going to save this $23 each week. Are you going to quit eating lunch in a restaurant every day? Or are you going to stop using the vending machines at work? Or, are you going to carpool so you don't spend so much money on gasoline getting back and forth? Or avoid toll roads if you live in an area like we do that has lots of toll roads? There's a lot of daily choices. Some of them are huge, some of them are just really minutiae. But if you focus on those and you make those changes, making smart choices, then you can move towards your goal.
So every single day there should be something simple and small you can do to meet your long-term goal. And if you know what those steps are and you follow them over and over and over, you'll be able to achieve your goal. So maybe, John, in addition to what you've already said, maybe that $23 a week comes from avoiding the expensive coffee shop, which is one of our hot buttons, right?
Well, we definitely don't want to spend $5 a pop on coffee.
Or maybe you quit using a trip to the mall as entertainment, because once you get in that mall, there's all those things that jump out of the store that say, buy me, buy me, buy me, right?
Without a doubt. So if you take these little steps, it's going to make achieving your bigger resolution much easier. And if you truly want a resolution to succeed, the best way to succeed is to take charge of all the situations that you can control.
And protect the resolution as much as you can against the situations that you can't control. So it's doing the things you can do and trying to figure out ways to avoid the things you can't do.
So if you are married, you and your spouse need to work together to figure out what the changes you want to make in your finances are. Because if just one of you is working and the other one maybe doesn't even know what the resolution is or doesn't agree with you on what the resolution is, success is going to be a long, hard battle.
How do you guide a couple through that challenge? Where one is the spender, one's the saver, and the spender really doesn't want to change habits.
Well, first you ask them why they married each other. I'm teasing. No, I'm teasing. No,
you want to know?
I think the thing is to ask them questions where they can openly share. It's open-ended questions like, well, what do you think about his plan to buy a $10,000 motorboat next year? Or what do you think about her plan to go back to work? Or, you need to get them talking to each other. But, we're talking about money coaching here, not really marital coaching.
Mm-hmm, right.
And sometimes when people are in situations like that, they may need to go to a coach or a counselor that'll help them straighten out their marriage. Because a lot of times those deeper problems manifest themselves in finances. And if you're in a situation like that, you may need to just bite the bullet and get an outside party to help you through that.
Mm-hmm. But I think by talking through, asking very pointed, pertinent questions about the other spouse's desire to obtain and have success with this specific goal, you can uncover the logic behind the person who doesn't want to do that. Then it makes it easier to address if you understand what the issues are.
Well, I think a lot of times money problems are due to communication issues. You know, people talk at each other instead of to each other. And that certainly applies a lot of cases as far as money goes in the marriage.
So step number six is, especially when it's dealing with finances, is to automate your steps as much as possible. You know, if your goal is to make increase your savings, then you need to automate that. Have your check or part of your check automatically deposited in a savings account, or have an automatic withdrawal into a mutual fund or something along those lines, so that you can increase your savings without having to really think about it. You know, you set a plan in motion and allow it to do its thing.
Make it automatic.
Automatic. So the seventh step is to check your progress regularly and frequently. Create some resolution mini milestones so that you can check in as frequently as possible on how your success is going. And the whole point is to make sure that you're seeing success and using those small successes as evidence that you're making positive forward progress towards filling your bigger goals.
And as you make progress, celebrate your success. But make sure that your celebration doesn't undermine your goal. So if you've achieved a savings goal, let's say you had a goal of saving $1,000 for an emergency fund, don't go out and rack up the credit cards to celebrate and reward yourself. You know, have a cupcake or a bagel and put a candle in it and sing happy money to me.
So if I see every month that I've been successful in saving the money I decided I was going to save to get to my goal, and I go out and celebrate with a $100 steak dinner,
that's not going to happen.
That's probably not a good idea.
Probably not.
All right.
How about using the Bible for resolutions? Those were our seven steps, but I think one of the additional steps that really helps is to use the Bible for resolutions.
You know, I read somewhere that a church encouraged each of its members to use a specific Bible verse for the year to help them stay focused, to be prayerful and serious about the change they wanted to make in their life. And it was a great idea to concentrate on the change that needs to be, at the same time increasing your prayer life and your time with God.
So if your resolution is to get out of debt, concentrate on Proverbs 22:7. The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender.
Or if you want to pay off a specific loan, think about Sirach 20:11. It says, there is one who buys much for little, but pays for it seven times over.
If you're overspending, consider 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil.
So one of the most helpful ways that we've seen people change their finances is by taking one of the Bible studies that we offer through Compass Catholic. If you don't know if your church has a Compass Catholic Bible study, contact us, or you can even take the Bible study online. You don't even have to leave your living room.
So you can contact us on our website, which is compasscatholic.org, or send us an email at info@compasscatholic.org.
Yeah, let me repeat that email address once again. It's info@compasscatholic.org. Also, Evelyn has a blog on these seven steps to keep you going on your New Year's resolution. It's available also on our website, compasscatholic.org. When you get there in the navigation bar, just click on blog and you will find the seven steps to help you keep your New Year's resolution. All right, John and Evelyn, it's that part of the show where we answer questions from emails that we received this week. Here's our very first one. John and Evelyn, I've heard you say over and over and over, pay debts off smallest to largest. However, one of my larger debts is a credit card bill with a 20% interest, whereas a couple of my smaller debts range from 2 to 5% interest. Should I make an exception in this case and knock out the credit card with the highest interest rate first?
You know, we get that question a lot, and the reason we recommend starting with the smallest bill first, the smallest credit card bill first, is because it'll encourage you, because you'll be getting progress, you'll be eliminating debt, and the fastest way to do that is to get rid of the small ones first so you can have a quick, easy win.
Now, if you are really, and I mean really, really, disciplined and motivated, and you are already making progress on paying off your debt, then you could possibly tackle the one with that high interest rate first. But we still would like to see you go after the low ones and knock them out. If you go to the debt repayment calculator at compasscatholic.org under the financial calculators, you can see what the difference will be in the order in which you pay those off.
And speaking of frequently asked questions, we do receive this very often. John and Evelyn, I just received a copy of my credit report and saw a debt that I did not recognize at all. What should I do?
Well, the first thing to do is to contact the credit reporting agency that has the incorrect debt, in your opinion, and mail them a letter of dispute. And when they receive that letter of dispute, they need to investigate, and they've got 30 days to respond to you, or they have to delete it from your credit report.
Now, when you send a letter, make sure you look at the credit reporting agency's website to get the exact format for the letter, and then when you mail it via registered with a return receipt required so that you will have proof of sending it. You know, if there's any phone calls about the issue, keep track of the date, the time, the person that you talked to, along with a summary of the conversation.
If you have a financial question for John and Evelyn, you would love their advice, email your question to ask@compasscatholic.org. Also, if you have a comment or feedback on today's show, or maybe you want to suggest a topic you would love to hear us discuss, that email address is info@compasscatholic.org. For John and Evelyn Bean, thank you so much for downloading the podcast. And remember, we have a brand new one for you. They happen each and every Wednesday morning. Simply go to compasscatholic.org, scroll down on the homepage, click on that magic button that says, you got it, podcast. This is Manage Your Money God's Way. We're from Compass Catholic Ministries.